Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
I want to welcome everybody back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Thank you so much for your continued listenership. Thank you for subscribing. We continue to grow our audience, and it's only possible because people like yourselves are downloading the podcast and spreading it to your friends and family, and I want to thank you for that. Today, we're back in downtown Visalia. It's an absolutely beautiful day in downtown Visalia. It has one of the best downtowns in the country. We've talked a lot about it on the podcast before, because we're essentially at the gateway of the Sequoia Kings Canyon National Park. So it's a great place to stay. A lot of great restaurants that are all around in downtown Visalia. This week, we're going to talk about the budget, and we're going to talk about what is causing the budget deficits and what our problems are in the long run. And that's really about healthcare. So we're going to get into budget and healthcare, and hopefully we'll all learn a little bit. And that's why we have on the show today Nina Schaefer, who's actually with the Heritage Foundation. But Nina, before that, you started with Senator Jesse Helms. You worked in the Senate, isn't that right?
I sure did, quite a while ago.
Then you've been with Heritage, and you spent a little bit of time at the beginning of the Trump administration. When was that, and what department were you in?
Sure. Well, I started off with the transition team and helped kind of get folks on board between the election and the inauguration, and then decided to stay on for another year to kind of help keep the transition and keep the plans on track for the administration in the Department of Health and Human Services. And it was a great experience and a great time there. A real enthusiasm to make a difference in what we're doing in the healthcare sphere. And it was just a real pleasure to work there and work for the secretary at HHS.
So you've got a lot of experience at trying to fix the healthcare crisis that we have in this country. First of all, if you can just walk through the seriousness, everybody talks about the budget deficit that we have in this country, but they don't really know what's causing it. One of the challenges that we have is we have all of these programs that are on autopilot. And the two biggest programs are Medicare and Medicaid, both involve healthcare. Can you walk our listeners through the size and scope of our budget problems and why healthcare is so important to those budget problems?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And it's a great topic to talk with everyone about. I think we can start off by saying, you know, there's one thing that both sides agree, which is rising healthcare spending and costs are a real problem. It's about 18% of the economy is going towards healthcare spending. The federal government is spending about a quarter of its budget on healthcare, and that number only is continuing to rise and is going to get bigger and bigger as the years go on. But for everyday Americans, we also know that there are real-life implications for this kind of spending and costs, not only for individual taxpayers, but collectively as well, as we're trying to struggle with figuring out how we can afford our own healthcare. But not just our own, but the healthcare for our country.
So a key number there is 18% of spending goes towards healthcare. But when you look at in terms of the budget, how much of our federal budget goes to Medicare and Medicaid?
Well, we know that the federal government, in one way or the other, spends about $1.5 trillion towards our healthcare.
That's both Medicare and Medicaid.
Yes, both of them are hitting the trillion-dollar marks in the coming years. I mean, I think a lot of people forget when we talk about this. We are spending a lot of money in the Medicare program. We're spending a lot of money on Medicaid. And in Medicaid, we have to add in the state spending as well. So those numbers really begin to accelerate and are only going up. We're not making any progress in turning that spending down.
And so when you look at that $1.5 trillion of federal dollars that are going towards healthcare, where is that projected to go to if we do nothing to rein in costs?
We know that we estimate that general healthcare costs will probably reach to almost $3 trillion in the coming years.
That would just be federal spending, $3 trillion? So it's going to double?
Yes, yes. And that is only going to continue to trend upward. And then you have to add on, you know, that's total federal, but as I mentioned, then you have Medicaid spending, that state-level spending that needs to be added into that. So we're really looking at a really dire situation.
And that's
just spending.
And I want to say that's why those of us have worked for so long to try to get the truth out there about what's really driving this budget deficit. It's really this mandatory spending. And so we can ignore it as a Congress and as a public. We're not going to have any money left once you talk about healthcare and military, there'll be no money. The entire budget will be eaten up just by healthcare and Social Security. And those are, you know, what are called entitlement programs. And so obviously Medicare is the big one. And at some point we'll come back and talk about Medicare. But I want to focus today just on Medicaid, because Medicaid in California, it's called Medi-Cal. There's different names for Medicaid across the United States. The challenge that we have with this is, at least in California, I think it's true for the rest of the country, is that Medicaid is really not insurance. It's essentially a card, but it doesn't get you a doctor. And what I'm really trying to get to is, what are the solutions that we have to fix the Medicaid program? But Nina, if you could, can you walk us through kind of your thoughts on where we're at with Medicaid and what those solutions may look like?
Sure. Well, like you discussed with Medicare, we're in a pretty big financial hole with the Medicaid program. And worse off, we're overstretching the program even more. Today, we have almost 1 in 5 Americans who are dependent on the Medicaid program for healthcare services that they're getting. And the more we stretch the program, the more we add people on. As you mentioned, even though you say you've got coverage, you have a health insurance, quote unquote, card, you're not necessarily getting the care and services that you might need.
And that in turn, and I think this is where you're going to go anywhere, but that in turn drives up the cost. Just because you have a Medicaid card, if you don't have your own personal doctor or your own clinic that you can go to, where you establish a track record, because at the end of the day, we're living creatures. And the bad part about the people that are on Medicaid, there's very few doctors that will actually cover them because the reimbursement rates are so low. It's really only for catastrophic coverage at the end of the day, because you're not going to get that personal care that you need, especially if you have things going wrong with your body.
Right. And a lot of the people on the Medicaid program, you know, need more intensive care services, and they need someone to help coordinate the kind of care that they're getting in the healthcare system. This is the whole problem with greater interference by the government. So the government tells everyone everything's going to be free or it's not going to cost anything. But to achieve that goal or purport that they're going to have such sort of a outcome, what they end up doing is slashing payments to providers that are participating in the program. So your local physician or your local hospital is getting slashed in spending in order to provide what they're purporting is more services to more people. But you can't have it both ways. So at the end of the day, the more the program grows, the less access people are going to be able to have, because we just don't have the finances or the resources to maintain that type of demand on the program.
And when you break Medicaid up, and you actually taught me this, as we look towards solutions on how we're going to fix the Medicaid program, I think you first have to try to individualize it, that the people that are in this Medicaid program, I mean, they're Americans, but they have different needs. And you taught me, Nina, that there's actually 4 different buckets within Medicaid is a good first way to diagnose the problem that we have. And can you walk us through those 4 different buckets of people that are covered by Medicaid?
Yeah. A lot of times people think, oh, you have Medicaid, we'll just lop everyone in there. But just like everyone's health care, everything is very personal. And the Medicaid program is what folks try to say, it's a one-size-fits-all program. But that's why we continue to have the problems we have. We're trying to do everything for everyone. And we're really not getting at the core problems that the populations in Medicaid have. And Medicaid is a very diverse program. It covers 4, as you mentioned, 4 groups of people. Low-income children, that's a traditional population that most people think that we're giving care to the poor. Some parents and other adults that don't have health insurance that are low-income. But the program also serves elderly people who are poor, as well as the disabled populations who are low income. So it's a very diverse cross-section of people who are on the Medicaid program. And trying to develop, which is what we have today in Medicaid, a very heavy-handed, top-down approach to how Medicaid services are being delivered really hampers the ability to actually get the care to those populations the way they need it most. And so part of the solution is really looking at, maybe we should start breaking up how we look at the Medicaid program, and instead of trying to treat everyone under one umbrella, let's start breaking out and looking at each of these distinct populations and think about what's the best way to develop a program that would serve the needs for that population in a way that better fits their needs, rather than trying to make everyone, treating a child just like you would a disabled person. It doesn't make sense. I mean, we shouldn't have the Medicaid program run like that.
And that's really the challenge, is that we're running this from Washington, D.C., sending money to the states. We put so many rules and regs on it, because the Democrats and kind of the socialist concept here is, give everybody this program. And so, you know, there's the old saying that I like to use, which is, you know, Medicare for all really means Medicare for none. It means you're not going to have any health care because you're going to have everybody on the program that, as you talked about earlier, is unsustainable if we're looking at just $3 trillion if we don't do anything about it now. It's going to be $3 trillion a year for a budget now that's roughly $4 trillion. So as we look towards solutions, and I want to come back and revisit some of this, but the goal that I have, and I think some of the things that you're looking at, Nina, is how do we get this Medicaid problem out of the United States government, out of politicians' hands in Washington? And what are some innovative ways that we can actually fix Medicaid as we know it? And one of the concepts that I've looked at is, would you be better off individualizing that payment so that the person that's on Medicaid can actually get a private plan with a real doctor that's localized? And I want to explore some of that with you in the future of, can we actually look at creating a program where, in some studies now, because I think we have to show that it works when you go to disrupt someone's healthcare, are there better ways to allow that person, instead of a Medicaid card, maybe they can actually use that money to get a real card from real insurance so that they can have a real doctor? And just in closing, Nina, I know that you have some ideas. Can you talk about some of the states that have had some early success in reforming Medicaid?
Sure. We've had a lot of trend-setting states in the past few years who have really tried to turn the dial on the Medicaid program and really looking at how do we make it a more personalized program, meaning that it's focused on the needs of the specific populations rather than just trying to lump everyone into one size fits all. States like Arkansas, states like Kentucky, most recently Georgia, and now Tennessee are states that are looking to do some innovative work for helping low-income populations and doing things that are trying to push back on this kind of Washington one-size-fits-all and really change the direction so that we can start moving the dollars and decisions out of Washington and get them closer to the people and to the real needs of those on the ground. And allowing the people really that are on the forefront of this, the providers and the healthcare professionals, to really enable them to serve the populations that are at most need, in particular in the Medicaid sphere. So the one thing we always say about the Medicaid program is, when you've seen one Medicaid program, you've seen one Medicaid program. Every state and every community is different. And we've got to make sure that Washington isn't really putting up roadblocks of allowing these states and local communities to develop policies and ideas that meet the needs of their populations, and far better than I think that we've seen today with Washington trying to do it all.
I'd agree with that. And I think if you look down the road, what the future is really going to look like here is, do you want Washington, D.C., running your healthcare? And it's not working now for Medicaid patients. There's nobody that I've found that's on Medicaid that says, boy, I'd really just rather stay on Medicaid. Most of those people would rather have a private plan that offered real insurance with real coverage, with real doctors, with real dental care. And that's, I think, what we need to focus on. And as we look for solutions towards these problems, they're going to have to be, individuals are going to have to drive the fixes and changes to healthcare. You're not going to be able to revolutionize healthcare until we get people that are on these Medicaid programs, and we really need to just get them healthier. That's the key. That's not happening now currently with Medicaid across the country, except for those few states that you've mentioned. So, Nina, I want to thank you for just kind of getting our listeners a little bit up to speed on the budget and Medicaid. And I think we'll like to have you on in the future and maybe tackle Medicare.
That'd be great. There's a lot to cover, and there are a lot of problems that we're facing. I mean, I don't think more government interference is really going to solve these things. We need to have innovative, outside-of-the-box thinking on all this.
Well, Nina, thank you so much. Thanks for being on the show. This is Devin Nunes coming to you from downtown Visalia. I want to thank Mark Avidian with Avidian Properties for opening up his business today to let us come in and record the podcast. So it's Devin Nunes. Catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
Reached
started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we kept our American faith. We, the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. Freedom marches on. Afraid.
That's why they call her the home of the brave.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.